Praise God. It's good to be here tonight.
It's good to have you.
Hallelujah. If you have your Bible, look with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. I've preached along these lines a couple of times, but it seemed like the Lord just ain't letting me get away from it. Says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. And when the Lord started showed me this, it was like all at once I realized that he always causes us to triumph. He always causes us to triumph. And I started thinking about the children of Israel, how that as long as they walked with God, every time they went into battle, they won.
Right.
Except in Ai, whenever they had sinned against God by taking the accursed thing. But as long as they walked with God, God fought their battles for them. And then he, over in the New Testament, he turns around and he tells us that we... always causes us to triumph.
Amen.
And it didn't say sometimes he causes us to triumph. It said always. Always means always. It means everything that we go through, anything we face in life, every battle that you face where the enemy comes against you, where the enemy is coming against your life in some way, God wants you to win that battle. When you think about that, that's good. You know, the Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. And a good fight is a fight you win. I mean, you couldn't say it's a good fight if you got beat up. You know, so it means, he said, fight the good fight of faith. So that means as long as we're in faith, we're going to win. As long as you stay in the faith of God, as long as you are led by the Spirit, and by saying that, I'm not saying that if you have anything bad happen to you, then you must not be serving God. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that when you are in a battle against the enemy, and he's coming against your life, you can have the victory every single time. If we're led by the Spirit of God, we can win. And God, as a matter of fact, God wants us to win. He wants you to win it. Look with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This is Moses and the children of Israel coming, going into the wilderness. It said in verse 2, and we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Which that was, Moses was a type of Jesus, and if they were symbolically baptized unto Moses in the sea and in the cloud, representing the water baptism and Holy Ghost baptism, just like we are today. So symbolically, they were representing us. We've actually got the real thing. They didn't have the real thing. They had a symbol of the real thing. And so he said here, they did all eat the same spiritual meat, and they all did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things are examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, neither be idolaters as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them as examples to us, for and are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And then it goes on and it says, verse 13, there has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. He said there's no temptation, there's nothing that you're going to face that God, when it said that you can escape it, it means that you will stand up under it. It means a way out. In every trial and every test you go through, there is a way out. There's a way God wants you to go through that trial. You know, and sometimes we don't realize it, but trials, when you start praying to go to the next level in God, you usually will go through a trial. You start praying for more of God, you want to be more like Jesus, there's going to be a trial. Because did you know that you can look in the Old Testament, many times people that were promoted right after they went through a tremendous trial. See, the children of Israel, when they went into the wilderness, this was testing time for them to see how God could provide and make a way in the wilderness. Because the wilderness is speaking of testing and trials. And so, the same thing is true with us today. But see, the children of Israel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, they faced a tremendous fire. I mean, they either had to bow down or they're going to be thrown into the fire. I mean, that's a hard test. But see, they had been walking with God, and they were in a spirit of faith. You say, how do you know there was? Because God wouldn't have moved like he did if they wouldn't. And so, because they did not bow, they did not burn, and you know what? The Bible said they were promoted in the kingdom. After they went through a trial, they were promoted. David, when he went through his trial, when he faced Goliath and overcome Goliath, he was promoted in the kingdom. Daniel, he was promoted in the kingdom. When he was thrown in the lion's den, he was brought out, he was promoted in the kingdom. Joseph, he was thrown into prison for something he didn't even do, and yet he come out of the prison and was promoted second in command. I mean, that one things can change in one day. I mean, one thing, you can be in the prison, in the bottom of the prison one day, and the next day you can be in the palace. But the thing of it is, it wouldn't have happened if they had not stayed in the spirit of faith. See, when you stay in a spirit of faith, you will go through a trial and you'll come out on the other side better off than you went in it. But if you go through the trial and you get bitter and angry and unforgiving and hateful and mean, you ain't going to be better on the other side. As a matter of fact, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said they didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. That means they went through the trial and the trial didn't get in them. You know, sometimes people go through trials, but they stink. They stink like that smell, like the trial they went through. And 20 years later, they'll still smell the same way. You get around and you still have that same aroma because it'll be coming out of their mouth. All that they was done to them and this and that. And they've still got bitterness and anger against it. But see, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't even have the smell of smoke after they went through it. In other words, you couldn't even tell they went through anything. See, when you go through the spirit, when you stay in a spirit of faith and you go through the trial, nobody can't even tell you've been through anything. And somebody could look at you and say, man, how could you go through what all you went through? Because you stayed in the spirit of faith. See, the spirit of faith makes all the difference in the world. I mean, if you're trying, the best person in this world, the strongest person in this world, the strongest you could possibly be, does not compare to spiritual things. You know, and when you're facing demonic opposition, it don't matter how strong you are in the flesh, how smart you are in the flesh, none of that will deliver you. The only thing that will deliver you is faith in God. It's trusting God and staying in a right spirit when you go through that trial, and you'll come out on the other side more like Jesus. See, it's not the trial that defeats you, but it's the attitude we have toward the trial. You know, if we have a wrong attitude when we go through things, you're not going to respond the right way. And so, trials are something that God wants you to get victory when you go through it. He wants you to come out on the other side promoted. And I've noticed over the years, especially when I first got saved there for a while, and every time I would start praying for more of God, all hell would break loose. You know, things would start happening in my life, and I mean, demonic spirits, people come into my house, and all this stuff happened. I mean, things would just start happening like crazy. And I started thinking, I thought, I'm going to have to quit praying for more of God because I don't think I can handle too much of this stuff. But I remember one night, our church had been fasting for like 7 weeks for signs, wonders, and miracles to take place. And every day for 7 weeks, people were fasting and praying and seeking God. And we had a revival. And in the middle of that revival, a baby died. The baby was there, and it just, eyes rolled back in his head, and it just stopped breathing. And the mother come running up to the front and holding her baby, and the preacher didn't know what was going on. He just took the baby and held him upside down. He thought he was choking or something, and then he laid him down on the ground, and there was a doctor there, and this doctor came up there, and he started checking the baby, and he said, he needs CPR. And he started giving the baby CPR. Of course, the preacher, he was up there, he said, everything's going to be all right. Pandemonium breaking out. People screaming. The mother and the grandmother and the aunts and stuff were screaming. And the preacher, he just as calm as he can be. He said, stuff like this happened to me all the time. And I'm thinking, oh, dear God, I don't think I could handle this all the time. You know, and so then that baby he was dead for 3 minutes, I think, and then it started back breathing. And they picked it up, and they went ahead and carried it to the hospital. And they got to the hospital, and they sent it to Birmingham, to Children's Hospital. And when they got down there, they told them what happened. They said, no, that didn't happen. This baby ain't died. No, this baby, if it would died, it would be this, this, and this. And they said, no, this baby died. And the doctor that was there told me, he said, you tell them that baby was dead. He said, I've been a doctor for 30 years. He said, I know when somebody's dead. And he said, that baby was dead, but it's not dead anymore. It lived. And so after that was over with, I was going home that night, and I was going down the road, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, you remember when you said that y'all were praying for signs, wonders, and miracles? He said, are you willing for stuff like this to happen on a regular basis? And I said, oh, Lord, I don't know. But I said, yeah, I guess. You know, it was rough. But I said, yeah. And he said, because you, even with Paul, he sent Ananias to Paul, and he said to show him the things he was going to suffer for his name's sake. See, because he told him what he was going to go through before he went through it. But he told him, you're going to go through this, but I'm going to be with you. You're going to see signs and wonders and miracles. As a matter of fact, there was an article in Paul Harvey, and it said, God and CPR saved baby's life. And in the newspaper in Cullman, there was an article about it too, and it was talking about God and CPR saved baby's life. But the thing of it was, I realized that when we start pressing into the kingdom of God, you're gonna run into demonic opposition. You're going to have demons that will just come out of the woodworks, you know, in people's lives, and just crazy stuff happen. But the thing of it is, see, this preacher that was there, he told me, he said, everywhere I go, crazy stuff like this happens. It's because he had a word of the kingdom of God. It was real. It was a reality. It was changing people's lives. And see, when you hear a word that's coming from God, there's going to be opposition to that word. And so you just got to remember that just because something happens don't mean God ain't with you. As a matter of fact, when that baby was dead and I was walking up there to the front where the baby was at, I heard the voice of God speak to me, and he said, this is not unto death, but this is for the glory of God. Hallelujah. And you know what? It was. It was for the glory of God. The baby lived, and he's still alive today. Glory to God. And so trials are going to come. But see, the key to it is staying in that right spirit. Look with me, if you will, to Deuteronomy chapter 20. In verse 4, For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Now think about that. You know, we really need to have faith in the fact to believe that God is with us and that he's going to fight for us. I mean, because really, I can't say that I believed that I was building my faith up so that I know God's going to fight for me and go before me and stuff like this. I mean, but when I started thinking about it, it's like, I need to believe that. We need to believe it on a regular basis so we don't get caught off guard. Because when you get caught off guard, you get in fear. But when you know that God's with you, it don't catch you off guard. You're ready for it. You know God's going to take care of it. And then in Joshua chapter 1, in verse 5, it said, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." And you know what? There's a scripture in the New Testament that said, God said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you," so that you can boldly say, "The Lord is my helper." Glory to God. I mean, that's in the New Testament. People say, "Well, that's in the Old Testament. That don't apply to us." Yes, it does. Because, see, they were a type again. Joshua was a type of the church. Moses was a type of Jesus, but Joshua was a type of the church. He was the one that came after him. Just like we're the one that Jesus come first, but then we come after him. We're in his place here in the earth. Jesus died and went back to heaven. Moses died, Joshua took his place. See, we're a type of Joshua, and so the church is in his name today, and he said, "Wheresoever you go," he said, "I will go with you." Glory to God. And so it's exciting to realize that God is for you. And God will fight for you. When people comes against you, I mean, I've had people come against me before and say bad things, and I didn't have to say anything. God would deal with them. You know, the Holy Ghost will deal with people's lives and bring them in line. But see, the Bible said they murmured against God and against Moses. And see, we have to be careful what we say out of our mouth. Because we are God's people, and we can either give the devil a place in our life or let God have a place in our life. I remember this one lady one time. She had, the Lord told me to correct her and tell her something, and I told her what the Lord told me, and she got mad. She got angry about it. And then she went off and started saying bad things against me and everything, and then I didn't say anything. I just let it go. And then 3 days went by, and the Lord told me to go talk to this woman, and he told me to go pay her light bill. And I thought, I don't want to pay her light bill. But he said, "I want you to go pay her light bill." She didn't tell me her lights were fixing to be turned off. I didn't know nothing about it. I just heard the Lord tell me. He said, "I want you to go pay her light bill." And I went to her house, and I said, "The Lord told me to come and pay your light bill." She started crying, and she said they was fixing to turn my power off. And she started crying, and she said, "I feel like I'm going crazy." She said, "For the last 3 days," she said, "my mind just went crazy." She said, "I just feel like I got a demon or something. Just cast it out of me." And I'm standing there going, wow. I mean, 3 days ago, she thought she was the elite. She thought she was higher than anybody. And now God had brought her all the way to the bottom. because she had rebelled against what I said. And it wasn't what I said, it was what God said to her. See, and so God will fight for you. When you speak the truth, God will take that truth, and if somebody opposes that truth, they're not opposing you, they're opposing God. And so he said, I will fight the battles for you. You know, there's something about fighting. You know, there have been times that, you know, whenever I was going through a lot of battles and stuff because of pressing in, that I'd say, I think I'm just going to lay low for a while. You know, I'm just going to stay under the radar. You know, I don't want to be out here where I'm getting shot at so much. You know, I think I'm just going to lay low for a little while. And, you know, then you start laying low for a little while, and then it's like, then the thing of it is, what happens then is you get taken captive. You know, if you're not fighting in a battle, the enemy just comes up and arrests you and takes you and takes you as a prisoner because you're not fighting. So he said, fight the good fight of faith. And in Ephesians it says, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And he said, put on the shield of the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the belt of truth, the helmet of salvation. He said, put on these things that you might be able to stand in the evil day. And I remember when I was in school one time, I was like I can't remember if I was in the 7th grade or the 10th grade, somewhere in there. And that particular year, there was a guy in my class, and he'd been to prison and got back out again, come back to school. He was in my class. And he was a lot bigger than me. And so he come up to me and he started trying to pick a fight with me. And I'm looking at him and I'm thinking, I'm a little scrawny guy, you know, and this guy's muscled up, done been to prison, got tattoos. And I'm standing there and I thought, I'm not fighting this guy. I said, I'm not crazy. This guy will kill me. I'll be dead. You know, and so I didn't fight him. And then some people in the class seen it, then this other big guy comes around the next day. He comes up and wants to fight too, and he's a big, tough guy too. And so I said, nah, I don't think I want to fight you either. You know, and then the next day, somebody else. And it was every day it started happening to me. And I was like, this is getting ridiculous. You know, and so then finally, the littlest kid in my class comes up to me, puts his fist up. And I'm looking at him. I said, this is ridiculous. This has got to end here. Punk. And he says, y'all said he wouldn't fight back. And so, see, the thing of it was that when I didn't fight, it ended up causing me to face fights every day. Where I would have been better off just got beat up the first day and at least they had known I was fight. You know, and so I didn't do anything. So then later on in life, when I was about 20 years old, me and my cousin was going through town. We come up to the parking deck, and we pull up on the parking deck, and these two guys that were bullies on the parking deck, and they were pretty mean too, supposedly, and they come running up to my car window, tapping on the window. Hey, y'all want to fight? And I just looked over at Chuck. I said, pull over. So we pulled over, and we ended up getting in a fight with those two guys. But we got the victory. We won the battle. And we went home that night, and we it was a good fight that night. I mean, because we won. But you know what happened? We didn't ever have nobody come knocking on the door wanting to fight anymore. It was like it was over with. You know, and see, sometimes when you don't fight the fight of faith, it causes you to be focused in on by the enemy even more. But because the enemy don't like to lose either. And when he realizes that every time he comes against you, you're going to win, I think sometimes he's going to back off a little bit because he knows that you're going to come out ahead if he don't. Glory to God. And look with me to Revelations chapter 12. in verse 11. It says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." And see, this is talking about in the end times, in the book of Revelation. It's talking about some people that overcome, that got the victory. It said they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Did you know Christianity is an exchange life? It means that when you become a Christian, you give up your old life to take on His life. And in this life, it's a totally different life compared to what you used to be. And the more that you... Jesus said, if you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose it for my sake, you'll find it. So you have to lose your old life and take hold of your new life in Christ and go after it. Because if you don't, your old life will pull you down and cause you to be defeated. See, if you live after the old life, you're not going to have victory. Your only victory comes when you go after the new life, when you're going after the life of Christ. And see, when it talks about the blood of, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. Well, see, we know that the Bible says that the life of the flesh is the blood. And in the Old Testament, He told them, it said, "Thou shalt not drink the blood of any animal." Because He said, the life of the flesh is in the blood. And then Jesus comes along, and He tells His disciples, He said, "If you don't drink my blood and eat my flesh, you ain't got no part with me." And His disciples looked at Him and thought, "Man, we're not supposed to drink blood, and you're telling us to drink your blood, eat your flesh." He was talking symbolically. And because what God was saying was, "I don't want you to have the life of flesh of the animal." He said, "I want you to have the life that's in the blood of my Son." Yeah. See, there's life. He said, the life's in the blood. Now just remember that. Think about it. The life's in the blood. So if the life's in the blood's in the life. And so when He said they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb, He could say it like this: they overcame them by the life of the Lamb. The life of Jesus, they overcame the enemy by His life because they let this exchange take place. See, the more that I let this exchange take place in me, the less of me, the more of Christ, the more victory I have. The more of me, the less of Christ, the less victory I have. And so that's the first part of it. And then He said, and the word of their testimony. And I believe that it's talking about the word that comes out of your mouth. The word that comes out of your mouth, the words that you're speaking out of your mouth are coming either from your old life or your new life. And see, He said here that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb or the life of the Lamb. So that means the word is coming forth from that life. The Rhema word of God. When you speak a word that God is putting in your spirit, when you're living by His Spirit and you're living by this life and you're causing this life to let it live through you, it's going to come out your mouth. You're going to speak the words. Just Jesus said, the words I speak, they're spirit and they're life. Their spirit and their life, because they're coming forth out of His life, the life of God. And He said, and they loved not their life unto the death. And he wasn't talking about the death, the fleshly death. He was talking about the death of that old man, the life of flesh. I mean, He was talking about the fleshly life, but not natural death. He's talking about they gave, the, He said, they to the death. And so all three of these together are basically, you have to, Jesus said, if you will take up your cross and follow me. He said, if you deny yourself for my sake, He said, if you follow me, He said, if you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. But He said, if you lose it for my sake, you will find it. And so basically He was saying, if we want victory, if we want to overcome, we've got to let this exchange take place. We've got to let that die to that old self, take up our cross and follow Jesus. And you know what? I'm used to when I'd read this scripture about taking up your cross and dying, and I'd hear preachers preaching about the cross, and I'd just be sitting there going, oh gosh, I don't like to hear about this cross stuff. Because it sounds depressing. You know, it was like, this sounds like something I'm going to have to go through that's not going to be too fun. But then when I started realizing what Jesus was really saying to us, he's saying, I want you to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me because I want you to have victory. You can't have victory unless you get rid of that old man. Unless you deny that old person and begin to follow after Christ. He said, you can't really have victory. You're not going to have the supernatural power of God at your disposal unless you're letting this conversion take place. Because, see, that's what, you know, when you hear somebody say that he got converted. What did he get converted from? He got converted from that old life to the new life. To that old life in Christ that he used to be to who he is now. And so this conversion's got to take place. But see, the thing of it is, the devil's always trying to get us to go back to what we used to be like. Go back to who we used to be. Go back, you know, let the old flesh life come back again. Because he knows that if our old life is, if we're living in our old life all the time, we're never going to have victory. Because one person can turn this world upside down. One person is totally walking after God's will and obeying him and dying to their self and letting Christ live through them can turn this world upside down. Just one person. And the thing of it is, it's contagious too. When somebody starts walking in great victory in their life like that, the people they get around, it gets off on them. It gives them courage. You know, I heard Brother Ledger say, and he was that preacher that was there when the baby died. He said, faith is 90% courage and 10% all that other stuff. Because he said, a lot of times, he said, I've had to do things when I was scared, but he said, faith gave me courage to face it and go on to overcome. And so faith gives you courage to go forward and to overcome. And the Lord spoke to me when I first got saved and I started pastoring, and he said, whether this church makes it or not is going to be determined by your walk with me. Because I was the pastor of the church and I was influencing people that was sitting in the church listening to me. And see, and a church isn't going to overcome just because they are a certain denomination or something like that and say, oh, it's a Church of Christ or a Baptist, it's got to be good. No, it don't. It depends on who the leader is. It depends on who's the pastor. It depends on who's walking with God, you know, because as they walk with God, it can rub off on you. I mean, the spirit that's on them will get off on you. And so when you're walking in the Spirit of God, you can rub off on other people and cause them to have courage. But on the other hand, if you're in fear and you get around other people, they can catch that too. As a matter of fact, it's easier to catch fear than it is faith. Because most of the time, everybody's negative anyways. There, you know, you can look at the children of Israel. When the 12 spies went in to spy out the land, 10 of them come back with a bad report, and only 2 come back with a good report. And you know why? Because Joshua and Caleb had been walking with God. They were walking in faith. They were letting God work through their life. And because of it, they saw out of different eyes than what other people did. And that's the way faith is. Faith makes you see things differently than other people do. When you know, just like when Elijah and his servant said, Master, they've got us surrounded. The enemy's all around us. And he said, there's more with us than there are with him. And he said, what are you talking about? And he said, Lord, open his eyes. He looked around and there's angels all around. More angels than they were of the enemy. But see, if we're just looking in the flesh, it looks like we're being overwhelmed sometimes by the enemy. Glory to God. In Romans 12 and 21, it says, don't be overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, and overcoming sometimes means, it don't mean that you can shout louder than somebody else can. You know, somebody's arguing and fussing with you and cussing you out, and you say, well, I'm going to get the victory, so I'm going to get the last word in. Now, that's not necessarily how you get the victory. You know, sometimes you have to be, the Bible says, be good to them that despitefully use you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. Bless those that curse you. You know, that's doing good, overcoming evil with good. Glory to God. Some of the time, the reasons we don't overcome is we limit God. The Bible said the children of Israel limited the Holy One of Israel. They said, can God feed us in the wilderness? And see, 6 million Jews out there in the wilderness, that took a lot of groceries. Yeah. Took a lot of water, a lot of everything, clothes. But God showed that He could take care of His people if they followed Him. And they were following God because they were following the cloud. And all they had to do was just believe God that He was going to make a way in the wilderness. And they didn't have to worry about anything, but the thing of it was, they did. They murmured and complained, even though God was still meeting their needs and their clothes didn't wear out for 40 years. I mean, that's pretty good. And being able to feed them. But the thing of it was, even though they saw all these miracles, they still didn't get to go into the promised land because of doubt and unbelief. But it never was God's will for them not to make it there. It was God's will for them to overcome in the wilderness. But they limited God. We got to believe that God is with us. No matter what happens in your life, no matter what it looks like, always believe that He's with you. Because when you believe He's with you, or when you don't believe He's with you, it creates a negative atmosphere around you. And it creates a vacuum, and it's like it creates a place to where it's hard for God to get in. But when you believe in God, when you believe that He's with you, it's like it opens up an atmosphere for God to move and to show up. And He will. Glory to God. Amen. Don't neglect fellowship with other people. You know, church is supposed to be a place when you come to church, you leave, and your faith is stronger than it was when you came. When you go home, your faith is stronger. You know, you shouldn't come to church and you know, somebody stand up and testify, y'all pray for me that I'll make it to the end. The devil's about to kill me. Right. You know, that don't edify nobody. Right. You know, people need to hear a victory. They need to hear that you overcome. Or if you didn't overcome, somebody else did. And because they overcome, you're going to overcome. Yeah. Glory to God. Glory to God. But if we're going to overcome, we've got to make sure that we stay in the spirit of faith. And the Bible says faith worketh by love. So that means the devil's going to try to get you out of love so he can get you out of faith. And so no matter what happens, keep yourself in the love of God. Because when you realize that when the enemy is trying to push you and trying to make you get mad, make you get bitter, angry, he's trying to get you in a wrong spirit so that your faith won't work. And so, don't let it happen. Just realize that you can't turn loose. You got to hang on. You know, I had a vision one night at church, and in this vision, I was standing there, and I had like there was a light all the way around me, and there was demons that were standing on the outside of this light. And it's like they were reaching like this, trying to reach to me, but they couldn't reach through the light. And I was standing there looking at it, and I said, Lord, what is this? What is that light? What does this mean? And he said, that's the love of God. He said, it's the love of God all around you. And he said, as long as you stay in the love of God, the devil can't touch you. And there's a scripture for that. It says, he said, keep yourself in the love of God, then the wicked one will touch you not. And so I saw that, but it was like them demons were just trying to reach, but they couldn't get through. But see, the enemy tries to get you to step out of it. Step out of the love of God and get in the flesh. Get in your old nature where the enemy can have more power. Glory to God. Never give up. Never quit. I remember there was a lady and come to our church years ago, and her husband had left her for, well, I better not say this online. Somebody might. But anyways, they were getting a divorce, and the Lord just gave me a word and said, you will win if you won't quit. And she took that word, and her husband brought the divorce papers there, and she said, "What should I do?" I said, "Sign them. God's going to take care of it." She signed the divorce papers. 1 week before the divorce was up, he comes back to her, falls on his knees, says, "Forgive me, I want you back." They got back together, and that's been 20-something years ago, and they're still together today. But the thing of it was, see, she could have quit. But see, a lot of times if you don't quit, you're going to win. You'll win, you know, but the problem is we quit too easily. We give up. The enemy tries to make you want to give up. Glory to God. The Bible says, faith is the victory. He said, this is the victory, even our faith. Amen. So don't let yourself be talked out of your faith, no matter what happens. Expect victory in all circumstances of your life. Look for the trials and things your way as an opportunity to see the glory of God. To see that, say, God's going to fight for me. And so when I'm in this battle that I didn't bring on myself, the enemy has brought this into my life, I'm going to stand back and watch God move. God's going to take care of this situation. And He will. You know, and it actually pushes us more toward God, because we know that we got to stay in a right spirit. We got to stay close to God because we want to hear His voice. We want to obey Him so that we see His hand move in our life. Glory to God. How many loves the Lord tonight?
Yes.
Glory to God. Give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just praise you, Lord, tonight, and we thank you, Father, for everyone that's come this way. And Lord, I just pray that every person here on the sound of my voice, that Lord, that no matter what happens in their life, that Lord, that they will keep the victory, that they will continue to go forward in you. And Lord, realize that you are more than a conqueror, that we are more than a conqueror in you, Lord. And tonight I pray if there's any that's lost, if there's any backslidden, I pray that tonight that they would begin to call upon the name of the Lord and begin to seek after you, Lord, with all their heart. And tonight I pray against every stronghold of hell that has come to try to destroy God's people. Lord, I pray tonight that you would strengthen the body of Christ tonight, Lord, in this house, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Does anybody need prayer for anything? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory kashakatara prakashakatara mahatai. Hallelujah to your name, Lord. I praise you tonight. I praise you, Lord, tonight for your victory. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. I thank you, Father. Glory to God. Don't be stubborn. Don't rebel against God. But yield to the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to your name, Lord. We thank you, Father, tonight. We thank you, Father. Glory to God. Anybody sick in their body tonight? Need prayer? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.